Okay, we're up to Divrei Hayamim, Perek Chof Gimel, new Perek today. V'David Zokein V'sova Yomim, V'yamlech Eshlomo V'no Al Yisrael. This pasuk is a mouthful. It includes a whole period of a whole story in Sefer Melachim where we learn about the rebellion or the attempt of Adoniya ben Chagis to take the Malchus for himself. And we know that Bathsheba was disturbed. Bathsheba said that, comes to David and says, David, you swore to me, you made a shvua that, here, there's a hint after that, you made a shvua that my son Shlomo, he would be the Melech, he would succeed you. And David said, that's right, call Nosan Navi. And David made it very clear that he wanted Shlomo to be his son, and that put an end to the attempt of Adonia to become Melech. All of that is not mentioned at all in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, because that's not the agenda. Sefer Divrei Hayamim is just to define the Malchus, to relate the history and the Yichus of Klal Yisrael, of the Malchus of David HaMelech. So all of the attempts, all of the was not Kvoide Shel David, that there should be some type of rebellion or some type of attempt to do what was not in the original plan of David. That's just a point to mention, that whole episode here is just swallowed up in one pasuk. V'David zaken v'sava yamim v'yamlech, and in his own lifetime, es Shlomo v'no al Yisrael. It's a very powerful piece of Musar for many people, many things in his, many events in history. A lot of tragedy has could have been avoided if people, when their time comes to step down, would appoint a leader in their place and not leave it to luck or to make great assumptions what's going to be after they leave this world. And David was wise enough in his own lifetime he anointed Vayamlech Shlomo v'no al Yisrael. If David would not have anointed Shlomo in his lifetime, would have died, there would have been a civil war. Who would have been the new Melech? And this is a very powerful limud ha-musar for many. I mean, many people, gedolim obviously feel
they don't have. It's like telling someone it's time for you to retire.
It's not a matter of retiring. It's a matter of appointing a successor. Not enough to retire. No one's telling. Listen, every institution is different. Every institution has their own set of rules. It's not necessarily the person who's in position does not necessarily have the power, the authority to appoint a successor. That's not the way it is. Every institution is different, but there's no question about it. You study history, you see how many, many wars and many disagreements come about when, if only the person would have appointed a successor, things would have been different. David HaMelech was wise enough to do so, as the pasuk is clear, Vayamlech es Shlomo v'no al Yisrael. Lubavitch has a Milo, there is no replacement. That's a testament.
He's still here.
Okay. You heard it here.
No, 2 weeks ago I was at the Yoha. I can tell you he's still here.
he's here to anybody.
God.
You can make a book on the thick, and you can make an encyclopedia and all the jokes. All the jokes that the Rebbe is still alive. But that's an amazing fact.
But
that there
the Rosh Yeshiva is, yeah. I'm doing some dough.
Well, not every Yeshiva owns his institution. Not every yeshiva. There are some yeshivas are private yeshivas with
private yeshivas,
and then there are many yeshivas still follow the model. They're still built on a model that it's a community yeshiva, and a yeshiva is a hired employee. It's not within his power. It's not ethical for him to appoint a successor. If after he dies, the Balabat want to appoint his son, that's a halachic issue. It's a halachic shaila if a son has kedima in a public institution to take the place of their father. There are many considerations. So that's not. It appears, according to many poskim, yes, a son has kedima. A son definitely has kedima to take over his father's position. But it's not something which is a right, which is an absolute right which she can do against the will of the people who control the institution. It's extremely complicated, and like with everything else in life, You cannot generalize. Every situation is different. Every situation has its own variables. And that's how it is. But it is something which is just amazing how David HaMelech, Mi God Alonu Mi David HaMelech, and he did not leave it to potluck, what's going to happen, or to any great assumption. When he was alive, he appointed, this is the king, they crowned him, there was a ceremony, and Shlomo was anointed as king. Yeah.
You see, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the way Rashi, was very spiritual.
He wanted his children, that's right.
And Hashem said,
no, it's going to go to Yoshua. That's right, so you see their consideration. It's not mukhrach that authority goes down to the children. Absolutely. By Malchus, and what about by a Kohen Gadol? And you have all different types of leadership. A Shoifet, Shmuel's sons did not go in his ways. You cannot generalize, like I said, you cannot generalize. Every situation is different. Yet, although it's different, you cannot take it lightly what it says here. Here, I have a hint after today. You cannot take it lightly, You cannot take lightly this pasuk. Okay, let's now go to. Now, there's a very powerful medrash tanhuma. This is a frightening medrash. The medrash says, it says the David was zokain v'sava yamim. He was satisfied, satiated in days. David had a full, a jam-packed life. Okay. Minayin yoidim shaz. So to the, here I'll read the medrash. The medrash has a couple of words that has paired into the medrash. Minayin yoidim shaz zikna koyfetzes al adam. That's not. I'm sorry. That's not the medrash I wanted to focus. I'm sorry. I wanted to focus on the different medrash. I got that gracious. Here it is. Hare kama kavod gedula v'hodor hayul David. In David's lifetime, David was Melech Yisrael. David merited an enormous amount of honor. The Medrash uses three words: kavod, gedula, and hodor. You don't have this in front of you. This, I'm just quoting here from the Medrash. Three very powerful words in the lifetime of David. However, uchshegia zman elamus. When David's time came, time for David to die, ein ksiv shem leMelech. V'lo yadoni, v'lo chacham, v'lo malach, ela shmo bilvat. David doesn't say David HaMelech, Adoni David, David who's a malach elokim. All it says is v'David zokein v'sova yamim shenemar v'David zokein usva yamim, to teach you that when it comes down to the end, everyone is the same. There's no favoritism when it comes to the Yom HaMisa. The Malach HaMaves doesn't give more kavod to the Melech than he gives kavod to an ordinary person.
It's just when.
It's just when, and it's all the same. And that's a Musar Haskel. A person should not get carried away in his lifetime thinking he's something special, because when it's all over, he'll have to give the same din v'cheshbon as any other ordinary person in this world. And the Malach HaMaves will not give him any special treatment. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Beis. Let's see if we've got... Yeah?
There are occasions where, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, like Avraham Avinu, you will live your life, and you will come, and you will lie with your fathers, blah, blah, blah. And similarly for David. I hear he said it also to David before.
There are different... there are insurances, but okay, I have to study the psukim, and I'm not prepared to give a proper answer. But in there are insurances. There are different layers of interpretation. This medrash focuses on one very specific detail. We have here David is about to die, and there's no titles. For David Zokain. He's just an ordinary person at this point in time. Pasuk Beis. Vayesav has called Sari Yisrael. Now David. Now the focus of this parakav Dalit is to establish the 24 Mishmaros. We all are very well aware there are 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim and there are 24 Mishmaros of Levim who served in the Beis HaMikdash. Each Mishmar was divided into six groups. And as well, we could assume that each Mishmar of the Levim was also divided into six groups, which means that if there are 52 weeks in a year, or 54 depending on the year, depending on the calculation, 50 to 54 weeks in a year, there's 24 mishmaros. So basically, a Levi and a Kohen serves in the Beis Hamikdash twice a year, 2 weeks in a year do you serve? Are you called up for service, for duty? Miluim, active duty, 2 weeks a year. And even during those two weeks a year, you only serve 1 day. Each mishmar is divided into 6 groups. So if your mishmar, your base off, is on Tuesday, so you're going to serve 2 Tuesdays every year. That's your service. Practically two. On Shabbos, everyone joins together when you are there, when you come for that mishmar. So on Shabbos, you join with the entire mishmar. And on Yom Tov, anyone that wants to come can come. So that is it. Now, what did they do the rest of the year? The Kohanim and the Levim. So they had different duties, administrative duties. They were teachers. They were shoftim. We'll see with some of the things mentioned over here. They trained other Kohanim, other Levim. They learned Torah. They prepared themselves spiritually for the avod. They would do twice a year. Here in these two parakim, Parakav Gil and Parakav Dal, we're going to learn the exact mishmaros. David here for the first time is preparing for the Beis HaMikdash. He's coming to establish the 24 mishmaros. Parakav Gimel discusses the Levim, and Parakav Dalet will discuss the Kohanim. So, Vayesoy Pasik Beis, Vayesov Eskol Sari Yisrael, Vahakohanim, Vahalevim, and the Kohanim, and the Levim, he's now about to divide them up into 24 parts, a piece.
But
the leaders, the Sari Yisrael,
based on Shevet.
Yes, he wanted this to be official. He wanted all of the Nesim, all of the leaders, to hear how the Kohanim and the Levim are going to be divided, and it should be enforced. It should be a system, should be set in place. It should not be something that is unofficial. So the Sarei HaYisrael VeHaKohanim VeHalim were assembled. Plus the Gimel VaYisuf. The first thing, before David can go and divide Klal from different numbers, he had to make a calculation of how many Levim does he have available. VaYisufu HaLevim. He counted Levim. He ben Shleishim Shon of Amala. He only counted Levim that were 30 years and up. Now we'll discuss this a little bit later, but we know in the Torah says that a Levi who did service was between the age of 30 and 50. When you're 50 years old, you retired. Doesn't mean you retire.
You became a teacher.
You became a teacher, a shofet, you
retired 55.
At 50 years old, you retired. So here it's interesting, this is discussed at great length by the Mefarshim. It does not mention that David only counted from 30. What about 50? Did he also count people that were over the age of 50? If you read the pasuk literally, yes, he did. He included in the count those that are 30 and up, which means if you're 95 years old, you're also part of the count. But the pasuk says after over the age of 50, you retire. So that can be interpreted as meaning only in the Mishkan. Only we're going to get a little flavor of this. It gets a little complicated. We are going to have another counting. Only in the Mishkan. Only in the Midbar. Only in the Midbar was there a retirement age of 50, because the primary role of serving in the Mishkan, it was to carry the Kalim. After 50 years old, person is physically weak. You're not strong enough. Okay, we're going to see. We're going to talk. What do you want to?
The next passage says they only had 20.
Later on, it says they counted from 20 and up. So there were two countings. Right, we're going to discuss that. But right now, it says here they counted from 30. There's no mention of the retirement age of 50. Okay, so that's something to keep in mind. There is machlekes. I don't remember. It could be the radak here mentioned of the radak. Funny, but it could be the machlekes of the mefarshim. If when it says 30 and up, it's assumed that it was from 30 to 50. He's just giving a reference to what it says in the Torah itself. It's understood that after 50, he did not count them. Or no, maybe there was some special halacha that the retirement of age of 50 was only true in the time of Moshe in the Midbar, and the time when Klal Yisrael was developing, conquering, and developing land during these 440 years. But now, when they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, that rule no longer applies. Even the age of 50 and up is okay. Now, we'll see also there are different services. Why would you retire? What did the Levim do? Some of them were singers. Some of them played, they were musicians. They played musical instruments. Some of them, they were gatekeepers. Some of them had administrative positions. Some of them were teachers. So it could be that this, where the Torah says at the age of 50 you retire, refers to a specific function. Does not necessarily refer to every function of the Levi, and that's why David, when he's coming to make the 24 Mishmaros, he did not limit them to the age of 50. Okay, but something to keep in mind. And what was their number according to their heads? Gilgal means a skull. The number of people, individuals were Ligvarim, men, Shloshim Ushmona Elef, 38,000. Now, from the 38,000, we're going to break it up into different numbers. Me'elef, from these 38,000, Linatseach. Now, that's a very interesting word. We're going to learn in this moment. It means, in the Targum, it means, no, that's the Grah. The Grah focuses on Latseach to mean to sing, to be like a conductor or to sing. But Latseach, like Lam Latseach, for the conductor. Yeah. So it means the person in charge. So you really take that word, you take that word to its further. Here it would mean to serve as supervisors, administrators, or to administer. Doesn't mean to sing. There, in the context of a mizmor, of a song, l'natzeach means for the conductor. But when you use the word in its general sense, l'natzeach means to supervise, or to be an administrator, or to serve in some function, whether you're a gatekeeper, whether you are a singer, whether you're a musician, whether you're an administrator, l'natzeach, to supervise, to administer, al meleches beis Hashem, there was 24,000. Eshim the Arba Olaf, there were 24,000 administrators, 24,000 desk jobs. Okay, the order from Staples, 24,000 desks and 24,000 chairs for the 24,000 administrators that David selected from the Levim, from the total sum of 38,000. Now, what about the Shaitim? What about officers, sheriffs, people that come and whip you into shape, and the judges, the Shaiter is the policeman. He comes with the stick and the weapon, and he says, pick yourself up and go to court. The Shaifet is the judge. So from the Levim, there were Shaitrim, Vishaitim, Sheshes Alafim. So what are we up to? We're up to 30,000. 24 plus 6 is 30,000.
Where did they serve, the
Shaitrim? All over Klal. It appears all over Klal Yisrael. That's what would appear. That,
not just in
the yeah. It would appear all over. It doesn't say, but we don't even know. But in the Stamma, it means all over Klal Yisrael. No, I guess it was a Klal Yisrael. They were very
It makes sense that the Shaykhid would retire at 50.
Well, that's discussed. That is in fact discussed. I saw that in the art scroll. He actually brings sources for that topic. If a sheif, and it doesn't, he mentions that it's not likely that a sheif, adarabah, the older you are, the more experience you have. But it's not clear. It seems that there are some Rishonim that disagree. They hold that the Torah says 30 to 50. That's the way it is.
So
it
could be. Do that today too?
I know. Okay. Next one, further. The Arbas Alafim Shoyarim. Another 4,000 of them were gatekeepers. The Arbas Alafim Mehalalim LaHashem. They were musicians. Mehalalim means they would praise Hashem. How? It doesn't say with their voice. It says Bakhilim, with musical instruments, Asher Sisi Lehalel, David here speaking. This is a quote from David, which I have fashioned Lehalel, to praise Hashem. David, it seems David invented musical instruments. Or David has selected which musical instrument should accompany choir, or which musical instrument should accompany different songs. Okay, so that's a grand total of 38,000. There are 38,000, 24 are Linatseach, 6,000 are going to be Shoiftim v'Shoitrim, 4,000 Shoyarim, and 4,000 musicians. Now, therefore, let's take a step back, because we have a mention of musicians, gatekeepers, and Shoiftim v'Shoitrim. What exactly was the role of the 24,000? So some want to suggest, now that we don't have any mention of singers, we have a right to assume, this is what the Gross says, that Linatseach here is used the same way it's used in Tehillim, Lamnatseach. Well, I shouldn't say that's for the conductor. Conductor is not a singer. I take that back. But it means to sing. A very unusual term in reference to actually singing. Because when you sing, how do you sing? When a person sings, what do they do? We'll read this in a few moments. When you sing, one singer raises his voice over the other. He prevails. Lenatzech means to prevail. When you sing, there's a soloist, and then there are all different forms of harmony, all different ways of singing. But the beauty of singing is where many people join together in a choir, and some sing in a different tone, they provide harmony, there's a soloist, as we all familiar, go to a concert, we're all familiar listening, there are individuals in the choir at different points in time prevail upon their companions in the choir. And therefore the word lenatzeach is a very appropriate word to use in reference to a choir as each member prevails over their fellow. Now, but David goes on to say, Vayechol came David machlikos. David divided all of these people into divisions. He took these 38,000 people, which divided into these different groups, and he divided them into divisions, Levnei Levi, and all of the 38,000 were divided into three groups based upon their forefathers, Levnei Levi, Ligershon, Kehos, Umirari. So Levi, this is Shevet Levi. From Levi had three children, Gershon, Kehos, Umirari, and from Gershon, the descendants of Gershon, Kehos, Umirari, we're going to look at their Yichus, and we're going to come away, that's the chart here, we're going to do something very quickly soon, we're going to come away with 24 Mishmaros. But it all starts with Levi. You see here, there's three parts. There's Gershon, there's the Kohath family, and there is the Merari family. And before you go further, let's see some of the mitzvahs very quickly. The mitzvahs and pasuk.
Were they separated, like Bnei Yisrael?
Yes, they were set aside. Everyone was assigned. There were three groups. There were three families. There were three major families. They were cousins, but there were three major families.
They wouldn't intermarry like this?
No, they would, of course. Everyone from one Shevet, there was never a limitation on people intermarrying in an own Shevet. So, of course, they could intermarry among themselves. They would follow the father. When it comes to Yichus always follows the father. So if someone from the family of Gershon would marry a girl from the Merari family, and they would have children, so the children would be part of the Gershon family. They would associate, they would daven in the Gershon shul. You wouldn't go hang out in the Merari shul because that's not your place.
Nusach Gershon,
exactly. You wear Gershon tefillin, and you daven Nusach Gershon, and you follow all of the minhagim of Gershon. Okay, let's see some of the mitzvahs very quickly. We have here pasuk dalet me'ele linatzeach me'ele hemi linatzeach. So the mitzvah just says, let's look at the mitzvah tzion. How he teaches the word linatzeach meleches hashir, singing. He learns like the Gra. Shir nikra melosh nitzuach ki derech bale hashir linatzeach ze al ze beharomas hakol uvehachros haneima. Each member of the choir prevails upon another member of the choir. Pasuk hey, al melech hasbeis avodas hamizbeach, to serve over the service of the mizbeach. Bekelim ki achof dalad elef hanemorim b'mikrash shalufanav heim oshar befer. So according to the mitzudos, when the pasuk says that there were 4,000 that played musical instruments, he's now, so what then were the role of the 24? The mitzudos is tosses as they were people who actually sang. Mach lekois lachalokim the portions of Nelevi as b'nei Levi. All three. Okay, now let's go pasuk. Let's go through the yichus. Yichus starts with pasuk zayin. Try to refer to the handout. La Gershoni. So now among the Gershoni family we have La Gershoni Ladon Vishimi. He had two sons. Now, of course, doesn't necessarily mean these were his sons. It could be these were his great, because we're dealing here at the time of David. From the time of Levi in Mitzrayim, the time of Levi who left Levi when they came down to Egypt, the time of Yachavinu until the time of David. We're dealing over here with hundreds, a thousand years, whatever it is. It's a very long time. There's no way that they lived that long. It means over here, descendants. Now in Chumash we have a person Livni, and Livni over here, this doesn't appear. We have Livni and Shimi. Here we have Ladon and Shimi. So as typical in Sefer Divrei Hayom, there's always machlokes. Some learn that Ladon is another name for the famous Livni that we are more accustomed to from Chumash. Others learn that no, Ladon was a descendant of Livni. And that's the pattern we have to keep in mind. All these names are not necessarily children. They could be great-great-great-great-grandchildren somewhere down the line. We're just selecting who these people were, and it was that family that was assigned to be a head of a mishmar. So, La Gershoni, on the chart, you see there are two families. There is Ladon, Vishimi, Pasuk Ches, Bnei Ladon. Who were her descendants? Harosh.
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden? Bin Laden? It's not a joke. No, Bin is not part of his real name. Right? Yeah. Legershmi Ladon Vishemi. Bnei Ladon. Who was Bnei Ladon? Horoish, the first one was Yichiel. Number two, Vizesam is number two, Vioel. That's number three, Shlosha. For some reason, the pasuk tells us these were three. I'm not sure. There must be some deeper meaning why it's necessary we can count on our own. But it's telling us there was a grand total of three. There were the three. Now comes something very complex. There's much discussion, there's disagreement what the next pasuk means. Pasuk Beis, pasuk Tes. Bnei Shemi. Now, without search, going deep into the pasukim, knowing anything else, you would right away assume Bnei Shemi is the other son of Gershon. On the char we have Gershon. He has two sons, at least presented here, Ladon and Shemi, and now we're discussing the children of Shemi. The difficulty with that is that if you just jump ahead before we read Pasuk Test, the Pasuk Yud, it's going to say again, Uvenei Shemi. So what's going on here? So therefore, some of the Mefarshim learned that this Shemi is really a descendant of Ladon. Coincidence, he had the same name as his uncle, Shemi. But this Shemi is a descendant of Ladon. He's not being mentioned because from him, he himself, his family did not produce a Mishmar. But his children, his descendants, produced three Mishmaros. But they're all descendants of Ladon. So Bnei Shemi, who are the descendants? We're going to loosely translate Bnei to means the descendants, not necessarily the children of Shemi. And Shemi himself, it's assumed, was a descendant of Ladon. And if I don't remember this, but in the beginning of, supposedly in the beginning of Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we went through those long charts of all the names. There is a Shemi who is a child of Livni. There's a Livni, and the Livni had a Shemi. So it seems that this Shemi, and we're saying now that Livni is the same as Ladon. So it's all part of the Ladon or slash the Livni family. We have Shlomis. That's number one. Number two was Vachaziel, and number three Vehoron. That's three. Shlosha, another three. Eile Roshei Ho'avos LeLadon. See, that's what it concludes, that Shemi, these three, are the descendants of Ladon. So therefore, Gershon had a child called Ladon. Ladon had three children, or three descendants, Yechiel, Zesam, and Yoel. Ladon also seemingly had a child called Shemi, and from him came another three, Mishmar Shlomis, Chaziel, and Haran, for a grand total of six. Pasuk Yud. Now we go to the other son of Gershon, Bnei Uvnei Shemi, Yachas, Zina, Viush, Uvriya, four, Eilev Nei Shemi, Arba'ah. So for a grand total of 10, Gershon is going to provide from these families, we're calling these family names, ultimately, at the time of David HaMelech, were prominent families, and each of these families produced, they designated a leader to serve as one of the 24 Mishmaros of Leviim that would serve in the Mikdash.
What happened to all in Perek Tezvav? You have all the Sarei, Bnei Levi.
So those were different, those served different roles. Those were just leaders. They lived in the Ari Miklat. They served different functions in Klal Yisrael. No, it could be they were leaders.
Were they counted among Vayisrael?
From it seems not. Well, maybe there was an overlap. I don't know the answer. Either there was an overlap, or they served different roles. We have to study their names in more detail. I don't remember the details.
Most of the names don't appear here.
Yeah, okay, so it could be they were different families. It could be these were different descendants. Obviously, this is not the entire Gershon family. Gershon family obviously spread, so from these specific families, the members of these families, they were selected to serve in the Beis HaMikdash as singers, as musicians, as gatekeepers. Not every Levi served. Not every Levi was eligible to serve for various reasons. Yeah.
When they didn't serve, they also craftsmen.
Perhaps, very possible. They had parnasa. Am Chol Yisrael Shulchan Parnasa. Of course, we have to assume that some of them had jobs,
and some clerks in the court.
Oh no, that's public service. He's asking, were they private industry? Do they have a regular job? Possibly. Why not?
The fields, the Levim had fields around the cities.
They had to maintain the fields.
Right.
So, but these specific people, these specific when they were selected to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, did they also have other jobs?
Yeah.
Very. Why not? Possibly. Maybe things different. Kufas, different periods of history. There was a different standard. It could be that sometimes, if you were a singer, you had to be on a very high madrega, and it was expected that you should be in kolo 24/7 in order to be on a very high madrega, a very high spiritual level, to be ready to sing when the korbanos were offered. And it was looked down if you went and you had another trade. Maybe not. I don't know the answer. It's possible. That's not discussed, at least not by the farshim on the page. Let's go further. Now we come to the next family. We come to the next family. Vayihi yachas, the pasuk Gid Aleph. Pasuk just tells a little bit more about that Shimi's children. Vayihi yachas haroish. Yachas was the leader. He had a higher status among the mishmaros. Vizizo hasheni, viyush uveriyah. Then it says that these two, Yi'ush and Uvriyah, lo hirbubanim, they did not have any children, and they ultimately merged into one family, lifkudo echas, for one purpose. We're going to translate the word lifkudo here, a purpose. Look at the mitzvah, Sion, lifkudo, inin minui, the gizbaros. A role, a function as a gizbar, as a treasurer, or as some type of leader of some type of service, one purpose. Now that if that's going to be true, then we're going to be reduced from 24 to 23. Ein Ochanami, at that point in time, we don't know what happened. At some point in time, there was a replacement. Somehow they selected another group of Levim to replace them, to make up the 24th Mishmar, because it was a tradition there should be 24 Mishmaros. But at least originally, when David put this into motion, when David went and established, they were two. These two families, Yiush, Viush, and Bria, were two Mishmaros. The Pasuk here tells us that it came a point in time in history where their numbers were diminished, and they were merged into a single mishmar, what we call here lifkudo echas, one appointment. Now let's run further. Let's go b'nei kahas. Now we go to the second family. The second family
is Amram,
Yitzhar, Chevron, Uziel, Arba. As you see on the chart, there are four families. Kahas had four children. B'nei Amram, Aharon, Umoyshe. Now, Aaron is not part of the 24 Mishmaros of Levim, because Aaron was not a Levi. Aaron was removed from Shevet the Levim and was upgraded to become the Kohanim of Klal Yisrael. Vayibadel Aaron lehakdisho, to sanctify him, Kodesh Kodashim, Holy of Holies. It's a very interesting expression that Aaron is called Kodesh HaKodashim of Shevet Levi, Hu vanav ad olam, forever. Lehaktir lifnei Hashem, to offer Ketores, or it's a general word which means to serve in a holy way before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'sharso, to minister, ulevarech b'shmo ad olam. Pasuk Gedal, Moshe ish olakim, banav, yikru al shevet halevi. Moshe is still called a Levi, even though Aaron was separated from Amram, but Moshe remained a Levi. Now we do know, we have to just keep in mind that Moshe himself was a Kohen. Moshe himself had the status of the Kohen. Moshe, we find the Chazal offered korbanos at the time of the Chanukah San Mishkan. Moshe, but the din Kohen did not go down to his children, only remained locally with Aaron. That's why it says here, Yikaru al Shevet HaLevi. Moshe is still called al Shevet HaLevi. Who are B'nai Moshe? He had two children, Gershom and Eliezer. Pasuk Tezayin, B'nai Gershom, who are his children? The children of Gershom is Shivuel Harosh. He was number 11, the 11th Mishmar. Next, Uveyu v'nei Eliezer Rechavi Harosh. Eliezer was Rechavi Harosh. V'lohoya le'Eliezer bonim acherim. Eliezer did not have other children. He was the only child, Rechavam. Uvenei Rechavia Ravu l'mola. And the children of Rechavia, they multiplied enormously. Chazal tell us 600,000. Now let me read you the Medrash, a very powerful Medrash. We touched upon this yesterday about the children of Moshe, Moshe's grandchild. It's not Muchat, his grandchild, it could be that it's great-great-great-grandchild, whatever it means, but his descendants, Rav Lamala. Let me read you the Medrash. Okay? It's not in the Medrash. I take it back. It's a Gemara, Masechta Brachos, on Dav Zayin. First week of Daf Yomi cycle, the Gemara says the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Yosi called Dibur V'Dibur Sheyotz and Piyakadosh Baruch Hu L'Toyva. Any time Hakadosh Baruch Hu said promises something good, Afilu Al Tanai, even if it's conditional, Loi Chaza Boy Hashem does not have Charata. Min Olan Min Moshe Rabbeinu Shenemar Hashem says to Moshe Heref Mimeni V'Ash Midem. After Klal Yisrael worship the eagle, Hashem wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Kaviyachol grabbed the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He grabbed him. And Hashem said to Moshe, let go. Let go of me. I'm going to destroy them. Heref men v'yashmidim. And what about the purpose of creation, purpose of Klal Yisrael? I will make a nation from you, Moshe. Ve'eseh oisicha, I'll make you l'goy gadol. How did Moshe respond? V'yichal Moshe espnei Hashem l'kim v'yomer. Don't destroy them, and if you're not going to listen to me, then don't you dare do this. So, fine. So what happened? Hashem listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a Tanai. Hashem listened. Hashem did not destroy Klal Yisrael, so it was not necessary for Hashem to replace Klal Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not necessary for Hashem to establish, to make Moshe Rabbeinu into a nation, because Hashem ultimately forgave Klal Yisrael for the Chetei Egel. Afal Gav, even though the Gemara continues, the Moshe Rachamim Allah Milsa, he was mispalel uvatla afilu hachi oikma bezare. Hashem still made from Moshe Rabbeinu a whole nation. Hashem made his descendants equal shakel connected the entire Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, this pasuk, Daf Zayin quotes the pasuk here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, B'nei Moshe, Gershom Eliezer, Vayiv Eliezer Rechavya Harosh, Uv'nei Rechavya, Ravu Lemola. They multiplied very much. Lemola above, high. What does it mean, high? V'tanei Rav Yosef, the Gemara says, Lemala Mishishim Riboy, more than 600,000. Minayin Osya, how do we know this? 600,000. We make a Gzereshava. It says Ravu. The word Ravu is similar to Revi Revia. Ksivach, it says Ravu Lemala. Uksiv Hasam of Ne Yisrael, Paru, Vayishritsu, Vayirbu. How many members of Klal Yisrael, how many people were Klal Yisrael numbered when they left Mitzrayim? 600,000. And that was included in the word, that was all alluded to in where it says, Paru vayishritzu vayirbu me'od me'od. Vayirbu, the Rebbe was the same shemesh as Ravu. So here we learn, the Gemara Masechta Brachos learns from this pasuk here in Divrei Hayyamim and Perikov Gimel that Moshe's descendants equaled 600,000 strong. And those two families on the chart, Shehuel and Rechavia, are number 11, number 12 in the number of Mishmaros. Okay, let's go further. Yeah.
How come Kodesh Baruch Hu accepted Aharon to be the Hatha Kahuna and turned down Moshe when he had requested something? Because
that's a complicated question. That has to do, the eagle has to do with the worshiping the eagle, that they did not worship the eagle. It basically means that Shevet Levi, that Moshe, the Bechorois, there's a lot to it. Okay, I'm not.
Refused to go to Mitzrayim. That's what I think you're asking, right? Moshe refused in the beginning to go save the Yidden. So because he refused, it was the Kahuna.
Moshe refused to originally.
For Midian,
when Hashem tried to persuade Moshe to be the speaker. To go to Paru, Moshe refused, and to ultimately Hashem made a pshara, Aaron will be your spokesman, and you will be the leader. Okay, there's a lot to it. I don't have a whole answer, but it's a complicated, it's a good question, it's a very complicated issue. Okay, let's go further. So that concludes Amram. We're up to Pasuk, Ravu Lamalam, let's find the place. Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, Pasuk B'nei Yitzhar. Now we go to the second child of Kehos, B'nei Yitzhar Shlomis Harosh. Pasuk Yud Ches. B'nei Chevron Yiriyo Harosh. We have Yiriyo, that's number one. Amaryo Hasheni. Yachaziel Hashlishi. Vikamom. Interesting name. Vikamom Harvi. That's number four. That's already, it takes us to number 17. Uvnei Uziel Micho Harosh. V'yishia Hasheni. So that concludes the Kohas family. We have already 19. If you look at the numbers next to each one of these people, we have over a total of 19 Mishmaros. Pasuk Chaf Aleph B'nei Merari. We come now to the Merari family. We have Machli Mushi. He had two children. B'nei Machli Elazar V'kish. That's 20 and 21. Vayamos Elazar. Elazar died. He's just telling us some historical information. He only had daughters. Vayisoum b'nei kish achayhem. So their cousins. Their cousins married them. The children of Kish. Achayhem. Achayhem here means their male brother. A brother sometimes called a cousin. That's an interesting idea. Their cousins married them. Married the children of Eliezer. So they stayed in the family.
So
what?
What? He didn't have sons. What happened to the Mishmeres?
So it appears...
No.
It appears, I guess, the daughter's sons. I guess the name was established after Elazar when he was alive. These are just... It doesn't actually mean people. I guess it went down to the grandchildren. That's what it assumes.
The grandchildren were Kishrin.
The grandchildren, I guess once it was... I don't know. You're right. It's a good point. I don't know how...
It's
the second time that was combined. There's another example of where it was combined. The exact details of how the Levim, the Mishmaros, played out over time, it's not clear. It's interesting that we know a lot more about the Kohanim. The 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, we have much more records. We have in the Kinos, we have different names for them. We have much more, there's much more reference to the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim. The 24 Mishmaros of Levim, we don't really have very much, as far as I know. We have over here, this is it. It's here in Divrei Hayamim, how David established the 24 Mishmaros of Levim, and that's it. How over history they developed and they retained their names, it's not really clear. But it's a very good point. If their cousins married them, so then it would follow the name of Kish. But it seems that once the Mishmar was established, they supplied that Mishmar with members, with people, even though they were from a different family. It had to be maintained, their tradition. When you talk about the 24, we once discussed a great level. We talk about a Mishmar. A Mishmar doesn't just mean a group of people. A Mishmar means a whole way of life, a hashkafa. We once discussed there were 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim. Each Mishmar lived in their own city. It was a community. And just like today, every shul you walk into, every community has a different flavor. You go to a Hasidish shtibel, they have minhagim. You go into a Litvisha Beis Medrash, it's a whole different atmosphere, a whole different way of davening, a whole different way of learning and living. You go into a Svardasha shul, it's different. Every community has its own flavor. When a Mishmar took over the Beis Hamikdash, they brought with them their customs. So if you have to bring a Karban Chatas, and you come in the middle of the year, you come in the middle of Chodesh Cheshvan, it happens to be this Mishmar. You walk into the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash has the flavor of a Hasidish Shtibel. You have Hasidim running around with long pace, and their heads are shaved, and they're doing the Avoda their way. I'm sure in Avoda there are different minhagim. You find in Halacha different ways of doing the Avoda. It could even be how they made the Lechem Aponim. The Gemara presents two ways to make the Lechem Aponim, square or round. It could very well be that each Mishmar, who was right, who was wrong. It could very well be that different Mishmaros had their own tradition. Some Mishmaros liked to have the square Lechem Aponim. Some had the round Lechem Aponim. When it was their Mishmar, they moved in, they did things their way. And when you as a visitor came to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, you got an appreciation of this Mishmar. The same way you had that with the Kohanim, you had that with the Levian. you know, every singer, some people they like this music, this singer, and some like this, they like this choir, and they like this choir. There's a lot of competition out there. So everyone is there. When you go to the Beis HaMikdash, they were playing the Mizmorim by the Kabanos, there were 24 Mishmaros. It wasn't the same. It wasn't a cookie cutter. Not every Mishmar was the same. Every Mishmar had its unique flavor, its unique Hashkafa, its unique tradition. And that was part of the diversity of Klal Yisrael in the Mishmaros, yeah?
It carries down to recent times. The other night I heard on the radio, when Avadya Yosef was nifted, they asked, should we have one rabbi fits all?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Just rule.
Yeah.
We have one...
the Rabbanut, just to have one, of course,
and,
not, right?
No, that will fit the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim.
No such thing.
So the guy on the radio said no, because they have their...
Of course, there's a different, it's a whole different world. It's a different flavor.
The flavor of Israel.
We don't appreciate this because in America, and not only America, due to technology, we live in the global village. Where everything has been merged, morphed into one global, more and more. But years ago, and especially say before pre-Holocaust, it was much more defined. Every community, every had a very different approach to minhag and to the halacha, and it was very different. You go to a certain shtetl, that's the way it was. You go to another, and when they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, there were 24 mishmaros. Each mishmar lived in their own city. They didn't have the communication we have today. They gave the Beis HaMikdash a whole new flavor, a whole different flavor. And that was the beauty, the diversity of Klal Yisrael, so that when you come to visit, it's different every time you come to visit, because every time you come to visit, there's a different mishmar. And even within each mishmar, there are six Bati Avos, which we could assume also had their own unique form of Avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are Mishmaros are very, very important. So yes, the question, we have here Elazar. Elazar was a Mishmar. That doesn't just mean a group of people. That means a whole Hashkafa to life. And if Elazar died and had no sons, only daughters, and then the daughters had to marry their cousins, we have a right to assume that that Mishmar didn't just disappear. They were converts to that Mishmar. People from the family were assigned to preserve the legacy, the traditions of that particular Mishmar. Don't just let that Mishmar, yeah?
Pasuk Yud Aleph supports you, because it says they didn't hear Bubanin and Chanat Banin, Yiu Lebet Av.
Nefkud Echas. They merged.
So they merged. It says the Feirish. Over here it doesn't say they merged.
They're right, okay.
So it assumes they didn't merge.
But then we need to what happened, that that's discussed. There's no answer. At least in the article he presents the problem. So what happened to number 24? If they live Kudachas,
married into the family.
That's the dicks. That's what over here Elazar in the kish. But what about in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Pasuk Yud Aleph, when they did merge, so what happened to Mishmar number 24? That's a question. What? Yeah.
Malvam goes through a whole discussion.
Yeah.
She comes out with different Heshbonis for each.
Right. So this.
She says 9, 9, and 6.
Okay, Nechanan, this is the Gra. You're right. I tricked you. This calculation is of the 24 Mishmar, the numbers I have assigned, is from the Gra. That's how the art scroll presented it. Art scroll made it very clear the following sheet of the Gra and their other opinions, how to make the calculation of 24, because there are many names mentioned, right? So then the result would be different. But this is a very simple approach, the sheet of the Gra, the 24. Okay, let's finish up the names at least. So we have over here the Micha Haroish, the Yeshia Hasheni. Okay, where we are up to? Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Bnei Mushi. Who is the children of Mushi? We have over here three children. Machli, the Eder, the Remos, Shlosha. These are the three families. Okay, let us see the mitzvahs. We pretty much, the mitzvahs are very simple. Let me just make sure I left any medrash I wanted to tell you. No, I think we got them all in. Okay, one, there is one medrash. Seichel Tov. There's a Gemara and there's a medrash. Okay, these are very simple things. It's simple, but just to run through it quickly. We all know that a Kohen has more kaskedima over a Levi. There's no din to give kavo to a Levi. There's a seder. Vikidashta is only when it comes to a Kohen. You're supposed to give cover to a Kohen, but when we have the Seder of the Aliyos, once we have a Kohen in Yisrael, we then give Kedima to a Levi. How do we know that? The Gemara Masechta Horios on Daf Yud Gimel says, Minayin Shekoyin Koydim Lelevi, maybe Koyhan Levim, they will merge, they get the same Kedima. So here it comes from this pasuk. The Gemara, I only took because the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim to bring out something that's so basic to our lives, that a Kohen comes before a Levi. Why? Kohen and Levi come from the same Shevet. They come from Amram, who comes from Levi. So why should we give Kedima preference to a Levi over a Kohen? A Kohen over a Levi. So the Gemara says, "Minayin shekohen kol levi shenemar this pasuk b'nei Amram, Aaron u'Moshe vayibadel Aaron. Aaron was separated lehakdishoy kodesh hakodoshim." Okay, so this is a very a pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara. Another idea. This idea is we know that there's something called havdalah bin kodesh l'chol. Every mitzvah Shabbos, Hamavdil bin Kodesh l'chol bin Or l'chosh bin Yishol lo'am v'yem hashvi l'sheish me'amaseh. So pretty much all those expressions touch upon a separation between holy and mundane. Bin Or l'choshach, or you can interpret loosely to mean Kedusha. Or is Torah, spiritual Or. Choshach is absence of Kedusha. Others will say Or just something physical. But if you want to learn it on a deeper level, it's between Kodesh and Chol. What about being Mavdil within holy itself? Different forms of holiness. Do we say all forms of holiness like all the same? Or is there a din to make Havdalah? Now, I guess, of course you have to separate. It's a different category. There is holy and there is Kodesh HaKadoshim. But is it necessary to make, I'm just saying words, I don't know what they mean, to make a Havdalah? There is two concepts. There's Kodesh, and there's something that's more Kodesh. Okay, so that's just a matter of fact. There's Kodesh, but talking about making Havdalah. Is there an inyan to make, I'm just saying concepts, is there an inyan to go and emphasize with this very strong expression, Havdalah ben Kodesh, to Kodesh, something that's more holy? Where would be a nafkamina? Nafkamina is, do we make a special Havdalah between Shabbos and Yom Tov? It's one thing, we have halach to make Havdalah between Shabbos and Chol. Mitzvah Shabbos and Chol, we make Havdalah, make a bracha. Hamadu ben Kodesh Chol. But is there a need to make a special bracha between, this is the Daf Yomi a few days ago, a special bracha between Kodesh and something that's more holy? Shabbos is more holy than Yom Tov. So we do and we don't, because we do part of Kiddush. We're not making a special bracha. We're not. That's what the Gemara says. It's really all the same thing. It's a very complicated sugya. It's all the same thing. Havdalah, making Kiddush Friday night is a form of Havdalah. It's a form of Havdalah separating between the Chol on Friday and the Kiddush of Shabbos. But is it necessary to make mention of Havdalah when you go from Mitzvah Shabbos into Sunday, which is Yom Tov? Do we do that? Let's say you have a Yom Tov Mitzvah Shabbos. In your Kiddush, do you say Hamavdil ben Kiddusha Shabbos leKiddushas Yom Tov Hivdalta? Hivdalta vikidashta. Who told you to do that? You have to go and say those words that you mavdil. No, it's pashut. There is Shabbos and there is Yom Tov. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. I have to go make a havdalah to make a statement to separate. Shabbos is over, and now we're going to a different kedusha. Is that really necessary? They're both kodesh. So the answer is yes, and we learned that from this pasuk. Okay, it's an amazing thing. Whoever know it, it's pasuk in Tiferet Hayom, middle of nowhere. Hashem said, "Oh, nowhere," but it's not something you learn on a daily basis. Is the makor? Yes, you have to express havdalah, not just let it happen by itself. Emphasize it. Bring it to your attention that there's a difference between Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim. Let me read you the words of the Medrash. Medrash Seichel Tov. Uminayin shekashem shemavdilim bein Kodesh l'chol, koch mavdilim bein Kodesh chomur l'kodesh hakal, dahainu bein Shabbos liyom, the daf, msech the psochim, daf, kof, whatever, kof ches, kof zayin, whatever it was over there. The Sivit says, Achrei Hashem Lokechem Teleichu Achrei Durachov V'Achrei Mitzvah. This is a pasuk in Devarim. Let's just go further. Shekach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hivdil Bein Shevet HaLevi L'Shar Shvatim. Hashem was mavdil between Shevet Levi and the other shores. So the Gemara seems to be saying that the Shaor is a scary statement. That the Shaor Shvatim relative to Shevet Levi is Chol. Shevet Levi is Kodesh. They're the only ones that can minister in the Beis HaMikdash. And the other Shvatim is Chol. That's what it says in the Medrash. That's a shocking statement to call the Klal Yisrael Shiftei Kah, part of them Chol. That's what it says. But what about Shevet Levi? They're all Kodesh. No, they're not. They're different Madregos in Shevet Levi. There's Kodesh HaKodashim, Aaron's descendants, and there is the other descendants of Levi, which are Kodesh. The Afal Pichein Chozar V'Hivdil Bein Kodesh Chamur L'Kodesh HaKal V'Hayim Bein Aaron U'Bonav L'Shar B'nei Levi. Dechsev the Pasuk here in Divrei Hayom in Perek Chav Gimel, this Pasuk that Hashem V'Yibodlu V'Yibodel Aharon, Aaron was separated, Lahakdishoi Kodesh Kodoshim. Okay, so that's a very beautiful medrash, a very important medrash, which sheds light on this inyan. Okay.
We only go one way, right?
We only go right. We don't make Havdalah when Yom Tif is on Friday. When Yom Tif is on Friday and you go into Shabbos, you make no mention. When you're going up, when you go up, you don't make any mention. You're only when you go down. Yeah. That's a very right. That only goes one direction. That's correct. Okay, so that concludes the Yichus of Shevet Levi and the 24 Mishmaros. We're up to Pasuk Chav Dal. Okay, we'll stop with Pasuk Chav Dalet.